This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
Okay, we've stepped away from the National Astronomy Meeting for a morning to go to the Glasgow Science Centre, which is an amazing building with an amazing exhibition inside by the looks of it. I'm here at an exhibition of photographs by Max Alexander, and Max is here joining me. Welcome to the Jodcast, Max.
Hello.
For the International Year of Astronomy last year, you created a series of photographs of astronomers. So normally we think of images of space and objects in space, and this exhibition, as the introduction from the Astronomer Royal says, it's to look at the creatures who ponder the mystery and wonder of the cosmos of which they are part, which is a very nice introduction to you. Would you just like to introduce the exhibition for us?
Okay. Well, these photographs were for the International Year of Astronomy. I studied astronomy at UCL about 7 or 8 years ago. I did a diploma in astronomy. And while I was doing that course, I thought it would be a great idea to do a series of photographs, a series of portraits of the leading figures in the broad cross-section of astronomers in the UK. When I found out it was going to be the International Year of Astronomy, I thought that this was a good opportunity. So I went through the Science and Society Award program at STFC, and they gave me enough resources and money to realise this project.
So the exhibition last year was in the Royal Albert Hall, I think, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah. The exhibition was exhibited at the Royal Albert Hall back in autumn for about 6 weeks, and we tried to reach a different demographic. Obviously here we're at a science centre, and that's great, and a lot of these pictures very much fit into this kind of environment. But we did try to reach a wider audience, and the Albert Hall provided that wider cross-section. And I think there was as many as 100,000 people would have seen the photographs over that period of time when they went to see performances at the Albert Hall.
Right. Now, I've been having a look around, and you've got these photographs on your website. We'll put a link to that on our show notes as well, so people can have a look at some of them. I really like your selection of images that you've got here. Would you just like to just show us around some of your pictures in an audio tour?
Yeah, sure. Well, just as a general comment before we start, most of these photographs are interpretive to the astronomer's work. I've got some character shots here, but most of the pictures, I'm trying to introduce some ideas and some concepts from astronomy into the photographs and try and express what the astronomers do. I'm also trying to photograph them as individuals rather than astronomy as a wide subject, and trying to, you know, show these inspired people what they're doing, the leading edge of their profession. So the first picture here is of Roger Penrose, and he's on a spiral staircase at the University of Oxford at Lineker College. And part of the idea was his twister theory about black holes. I don't know too much about the hard science behind that, but I do know obviously his work, and especially in the 1960s with black holes. And so this to express of some of the geometry that goes into to black holes and spiral galaxies.
So just to describe it, you're basically, as a photographer, you're at the top of the spiral staircase and looking down through the centre of the core of the spiral with Roger Penrose on one of the steps lower down below you.
That's right. We're right down on top. We're on the very top floor. It's a very difficult picture to pull off because I've got to use a tripod, and it produces some difficult angles for the tripod to be set up at and for the camera to be leaning right out across the middle of the spiral staircase. And there's also there's a flash on him as well. His 9-year-old boy, who's also called Max, was helping me out for the day, and he was holding up the flashlight, pointing at his father for the picture.
So. Right, very good. And just moving along, I think we've got Will Percival here.
That's right. So this is a picture of Will. He's looking. He's written some equations on a piece of perspex. They look back to front to us as the observer, but They're written the right way around for him. And he was very, very careful about how he wrote them out because he was worried that some of his colleagues, if he made any mistakes, that he would get caught out by his colleagues.
So it's more accurate than a Hollywood movie.
I think so. I believe so. But, yeah, Will was great. And he's got his eyes closed in the picture. And it's quite, hopefully there's a bit of mood and character in the shot. And it's him contemplating his work and his equations.
And as we move along,
okay, the next picture is of Herania Perez. Herania is holding a television, an old black and white television from the 1960s, and we've untuned it, and you can see the snow on the TV. And as a lot of you are probably aware, about 1% of the snow on an untuned television on an old analog TV is leftover radiation from the Big Bang. CMB.
Yeah, it's great that you can observe the beginnings of the universe from the comfort of your own living room.
Well, that's right. We try to introduce every idea down here on Earth as, you know, that we're connected to the universe out there. You know, the Earth isn't a separate place. It's part of the Milky Way galaxy. And I had that in the back of my mind for some of these ideas. The next picture is of Mike Cruz, and Mike is working on gravitational waves. He's very involved. I think he may be the UK principal investigator for LISA Pathfinder.
So gravitational waves, just to remind our listeners, are distortions in space-time, the fabric of space-time
that
stretch and squash space.
That's right, yeah. So, I mean, ripples in the fabric of space-time is how they were described to me. I worked with a professional astronomer, Ian Howarth, from University College of London, and we sat down and brainstormed a lot of these ideas. I had about 20 ideas in mind when I started out the project, and then Ian helped me develop those. And for this picture here, we thought about, and I said, well, tell me, Ian, how would you describe a gravitational wave? And just as I said before, they're ripples in the fabric of space-time. So I thought about water, and there's a picture here of Mike with, I've thrown a rock over his head, and he was unflinching as I did that, and then these ripples came out in the pond, and he looks quite angelic. It looks hopefully a little bit like a Giotto painting as well, with this big halo around his head. Perhaps also the idea of brainwaves as well is in there. But it's probably, to me, it's one of the most satisfying pictures, and part of that is the simplicity of it.
It's very simple. And did it take you many attempts to get that to land just behind his head?
I probably had about a bag of about 20 rocks, and we had to have the rock just the right size, and had to throw it out the right distance. I didn't have an assistant with me. It was actually drizzling at the time, and I felt like I was a bit like I was a hooker in the line out. I used to play rugby, but not hooker. So I had to throw it just the right height and the right distance.
And there's no splash visible, so did you get it very, very
quick? Well, I actually had to wait for 2 or 3 seconds for the ripples sort of to come out and to be a nice settled shape. It was actually, of the pictures I took, there's only really one that is spot on. Okay, the next picture is of Dr. Serena Vitti. Serena is an astrobiologist and working with prebiotic life at University College London. So I've got her in this chemistry laboratory, and she's about 8 months pregnant in this photograph. So we're obviously playing with the themes of life here in astrobiology.
Chemistry and biology together.
That's right. And on the plaque here, we talk about stellar nurseries and the search for life in the universe, and we're trying to just introduce a bit of humour into the photographs.
Yeah, I must say, I really like, there is a vein of humour through quite a few of these that I really like.
That's right, I did try and introduce humour and wit into the photographs. Astronomy can obviously be a very difficult subject to understand, so hopefully that helps with connecting with the public. And in all these pictures, I'm thinking, is this too esoteric? Is it too specific to the science? And it's more about the audience than it is about the science, more about connecting to them, to what I'm trying to do. So this photograph is of Sean Pauling. Sean's at Sheffield University, and he works in the Bowlby mine.
Looking in the north of England.
That's right. The Bowlby mine's in North Yorkshire, and it's 1 kilometre down in an old salt mine, and it's an amazing place to go to. And they're trying to detect WIMPs. It's the search for dark matter. So
the weakly interacting massive particles.
That's right. So they haven't apparently every day they ask him, have you found the dark matter yet? These very tough Yorkshire miners, as he goes down in the elevator with them, but not as yet.
It's a nice simple one as well, because it's mostly a very black background there, being down in a mine. There's a very limited light source. I think he's holding a torch, and did he actually draw the words dark matter written?
He did. This is a single image. It's taken, it's a 2-minute exposure. I've got the camera on a tripod, and we've got some marks on the floor down on the ground, and Sean has written those letters back to front, and he did a fantastic job. We've not done anything to that photograph. It's straight out the camera. So he did them back to front. He wrote them in two lines, and then he did a wave with his torch, and then I fired a flash at the end of the exposure. So it's all in one shot.
So that's how you got him illuminated and the movement of him writing. So how was Bowlby Mine?
It was an amazing experience. It extends many hundreds of metres out into the ocean, out into the sea, and it's an incredible place to visit. It's very humid, it's very damp, and a lot of burly Yorkshire miners walking around.
Okay, and then the next image is another quite dark image with limited light in it, which is showing us Professor Carlos Frank, who's a cosmologist and works on simulations of the large-scale structure in the universe.
So when astronomers look up at the night sky, they know they're only looking at about 4% of the stuff of the universe. The stars, the gas, the dust, is all the baryonic matter. And so here, the lit part of his face is about 4% of the frame, representing that normal baryonic matter. The unlit part of his face is around about a quarter, around about 23% of the frame, and that represents the dark matter in the universe. And the rest of the frame, about three quarters, about 73, 74% of the frame, is the dark energy that astronomers haven't yet discovered what it is.
Yep. So there's increasing mysteries that we have as astronomers. It's quite embarrassing that we don't know about this vast majority, 96% of the universe.
Well, there's a lot of work that astronomers have got to do. They only know this very small percentage of what the universe is made of.
As we move up, we get to Tom Bowles, who's an amateur astronomer.
Yeah, that's right. Tom was the president of the British Astronomical Association. He's a Glaswegian, I think. He's certainly Scottish. I'm pretty sure he's from Glasgow. He was a professional man who, when he retired, he took up very serious amateur astronomy. And in the last 6 months or so, he's broken the record for the number of supernovae discoveries. He's broken Frank Zwicky's record from the 1930s, and he's getting recognised for that now. And it's a remarkable achievement. So I've taken a photograph of him at his observatory in Suffolk.
So we see his telescope in the middle of his dome, which is open. Looks like he's getting ready to observe.
That's right. Of course, he does all observing from the comfort of his house, but this is a picture of him before he's to set out on a night's observing. And it's quite amazing what he's done. He's with respect to the number of discoveries that he's made, and obviously he's in contact with a lot of professional astronomers, and they follow up on his work.
Well, amateurs do an amazing amount of astronomy, which is not true in many other fields of science. You don't expect amateur brain surgeons, but it's great that amateurs are now, especially with CCD cameras the last 20 years, able to do so much.
That's right, and as you say, it's one of the few fields where that can happen. And obviously with citizen astronomy now, with the Galaxy Zoo and other spin-off websites from other fields of astronomy, that's really bringing in a very large number of the general public, not just people who are interested specifically in astronomy.
As we move along, the selection you have here, we've got Andy Lawrence, who's a professor at the University of Edinburgh at the Astronomy Technology Centre. He's sat at a desk, he's got a radio on one side of him and a computer screen showing an X-rayed hand on the other side. And he's got a rainbow spectrum behind him in the background there.
Yeah, what I've got here is this prism effect, got from red all the way through to the ultraviolet in the background. Andy works at multiple wavelengths, and as an observational astronomer, I don't know all the ins and outs of what he does, but he works at the cross-section of astronomy. And so starting from the radio all the way through to X-rays and gamma rays. So we're just trying to express Andy's work in this photograph here with the radio, with the X-ray on the screen, with him holding his hand out like it is in the X-ray, and then the visible light behind him.
And as an astronomer, I really like the fact that you've got the red on the left side going across to the purple on the right side, the blues. So it matches up with where the radio and the X-ray are placed.
Yeah, this is actually two photographs, so I'm letting into all my little secrets now. But I've got a prism at home, and I photographed the spectrum of light on the ground on an A4 piece of paper, and then we brought that in as a wash in the colour behind him.
Right.
And when I took his portrait, I had a red gel on the side of his face to express the direction of that red part of the spectrum.
Yep. You see, you had me fooled there. I thought that I was assuming the red tint on the side of his face.
I've let the cat out of the bag.
Well, it's good to know these techniques. And then as we move along, we've got someone who we interviewed on the Jodcast a couple of years ago, Professor Jocelyn Bell from the University of Oxford, who is famous for discovering pulsars just 43 years ago this year. And Jocelyn has a lighthouse behind her in this image. That's quite appropriate, given that she studies pulsars.
Yeah, well, I don't know a great deal about the physics behind the pulsars, but I believe they act like a lighthouse. They talk about the lighthouse model of a pulsar, how it sends out a collimated beam of light, very directional, and if the Earth is in the path of that beam, then we'll see it head on. And so that's why I've got a picture of her beside Portland Bill Lighthouse,
so
down
you
on
actually,
the south coast.
Did you actually go there with Jocelyn to
No, Jocelyn, unfortunately, it was very difficult because I needed a fog,
right,
to go through the light,
the
lighthouse to see the beams. And with her schedule, she couldn't come down. So it is a montaged image. It is two photographs. There was a long period of time we didn't have much fog in the UK, and I waited for a full 6 months.
I'm sure lots of people wouldn't believe that.
Yeah, I know. But for down at Portland Bill, we didn't have fog for a long time. So we finally got a call from a B&B that I'd stayed in previously, and they said that the foghorn has gone off. So I drove through the night to get down there for 5 in the morning to take that photograph.
And are the lights in the lighthouse the original lighthouse lights, or are they lights that you've put there?
No, that's the...
It's still a working lighthouse.
It's very much a working lighthouse, very much so. It's a dangerous coastline down there.
Right. I quite like this image because I instantly recognise the quote that it's depicting.
Oscar Wilde said that we're all in the gutter, but some of us are looking up at the stars. So I've got Alan Watson here, who studies cosmic rays at Leeds University, lying in a gutter and at Leeds University.
And this isn't a double image where you shot him separately. You actually had him lying in a gutter.
No, he is there. Some of his colleagues and students were walking by as he lay there and making some lots of sort of interesting remarks. But Alan didn't seem to mind at all. He just carried on and was quite nonplussed about the whole thing, really.
So were all the astronomers that you imaged, were they quite happy to be in rather strange-looking situations?
I did have to be very persuasive. It did take me a long time for a lot of these astronomers. A lot of them are very busy, obviously, and some of the reactions to begin with was that, is this guy to be taken seriously? And I think some of them even followed up at the STFC press office to make sure I was who I said I was. But almost all of them came on board. In fact, I found that the scientists, the astronomers I worked with are very creative people, and that I learned that in their job they do have to be creative. It's not all just about the science and the maths. And in many of these pictures it was a collaborative effort, not just with Ian Howard from UCL, but also the individual astronomers to narrow down, to converge on a particular idea and how we were going to execute it and how we'd pull it off. Some astronomers didn't want to do certain things. There's one I wanted to stand on a trampoline to express the curvature of space, and he didn't want to do that, so we did something else. But it was very much a collaborative effort.
Right. We have a couple of very famous astronomers and cosmologists and theoretical physicists. We've got Patrick Moore and Stephen Hawking. Both, I see Patrick Moore's in his study in his house where he usually films the sky at night with some TV cameras filming him. I guess that's to show what he normally does or is known for.
That's right. Well, obviously, it speaks for himself what he's done in his life of broadcasting and publishing. So I've got him surrounded by television cameras in his study, as you said. And I just had a very short 3 or 4 minutes between takes where I could get this photograph. So it was a very quick setup. And he's staring down the camera. He never smiles in his pictures. So there's a very stern look on his face, but I think it hopefully expresses Patrick. The other pictures of Stephen Hawking, and once again, I didn't have a lot of time to take this photograph, but it's in at DAMTP, if I've got that right.
DAMT, yep.
At Cambridge University.
Well, now we reach Professor Jerry Gilmore, who is one of the first people we actually ever interviewed on the Jodcast, from the University of Cambridge. And there's an image from very high looking down on him. Would you like to just describe where he is?
Okay, this is taken from Cromer Pier in Norfolk, and Cromer's where Albert Einstein spent 3 months before he went to America in the 1930s, and we enjoyed a pint at the pub that he used to drink at there after we took this photograph. So in the picture it says, what I've written in the sand is, there are more stars in the universe than grains of sand on the Earth, and it is actually a statement of fact. They have actually measured a part of the sky and then extrapolated roughly how many stars there would be in the universe. I believe it's 7 followed by 22 zeros, which is more than there are grains of sand on the Earth. So it was a very, very difficult picture to take. Jerry had to be available, I had to be free, the tides had to be right, and also the sun as well. So it took a tremendous amount of planning, and Jerry did give up most of his day to be there for the photograph. I was quite nervous when I wrote that in the sand because I tested it twice before and once I got the spelling right. But we got it, and the tides were just right for 15 minutes or so while they were turning. And
so you didn't have the waves coming in and washing out your writing.
That's right. Well, we were far enough up the beach. Well, there was a storm the night before that changed the whole shape of the beach. So I was a bit nervous about this one day that I had with Jerry, but we got there in the end. And there's a picture next to Jerry. We've got these supporting photographs that go with each of the photographs, which describe the astronomer's work, and a small picture, which we've got here, of a globular cluster with hundreds of thousands of stars in.
And Jerry is working on the upcoming ESA mission Gaia, which is going to be extremely exciting. It's going to measure the exact positions of stars more precisely than we've ever done before. The best quote I heard him say in our interview was, "The whole solar system will be oscillating like a jelly," as far as Gaia is concerned. And as we move along, we've got Professor Colin Pillinger, who's hopefully internationally known. He was the main person behind Beagle 2, but unfortunately didn't land on Mars successfully. But it was a plucky mission, and if it had landed, it would have done excellent science.
So I've got this picture of Colin is taken at Sandy Quarry in Bedfordshire, and it's a place where ESA actually tests some of the rovers, well, the Bridget, I believe it's called, that's planned to land on the Red Planet. And also Beagle 2 was taken down here as well. So it does look incredibly like Mars. And I shot Colin here with very warm morning light, and he's dressed in a space suit, in a NASA space suit with his helmet. You can, if you look really very carefully at the helmet, you can actually see a radio mast reflected in the helmet.
That's the future of exploration of Mars. We will have a radio mast.
There's some trees as well, but we just decided to leave those in there.
Are these the real colours of the rock and the sand?
We did tweak it up a little bit in Photoshop. It is slightly redder than what we actually saw.
Because when you see it next to your smaller image of Victoria Crater by Opportunity, the colours are amazingly close.
Yeah, we did tweak it a bit, but the light was very, very warm morning light, and I was conscious of that photograph we're going to have next to it. But just to reinforce the fact that, you know, places on Earth can be incredibly like other places in the solar system.
Yep. And now we have someone who is internationally well-known, but primarily not because of his astronomy, because he's a rock star, and that's Dr. Brian May. We reported on him becoming a doctor a couple of years ago. And here he is, he's next to his guitar, and is this his telescope?
That's right, this is a telescope. It's made out of, it's basically a cardboard cylinder that he made when he was about 15 with his father. So I've got a picture of Brian in this house in Surrey, and it's also next to him is the Red Special guitar. It's a piece of British rock folklore, that guitar. He's written most of his music on it and performed on Buckingham Palace with it. So he also made that incredibly with his father when he was a teenager. It's part of a mahogany table in the fireplace, and there's a feedback thing on the side of it that's actually his mother's knitting needle. So these are two parts of his life together in one photograph, his career in music and also his interest in work in astronomy.
Excellent. And here we have another amateur astronomer, I think, which is Damien Peach, who images planets.
Okay, so I've got a picture of Damien here taken with a fisheye lens. And what I've tried to do, Damien is one of the world's best astro images of planets. And so I've used a fisheye lens, which has given us a complete circle of the photograph, to make it look a bit like a planet. And the sky is looking quite marbled, like it would do from space. And it's really just a bit of fun and just a quirky photograph to show off what he does.
So in the evening, presumably, there's a very long shadow behind him.
Yep, there is. There's a long shadow from my tripod, and we had to take that out. He's an amazing astrophotographer. I mean, the work, I think he's multiple images he stacks together. I think they may even run in the thousands, and he produces these images which are...
Is this one of his images of Jupiter next to the picture?
That's right, yeah, the picture here. I don't know where he took this photograph. He takes pictures from his backyard in Reading, but he also goes abroad to look for the best skies as well.
It's an incredible shot, that, actually, of Jupiter. I presume it's lots of images stacked, like you say. It's amazing the detail you can see in the cloud bands.
Yeah, I mean, this looks like it's taken from a spacecraft, you know.
It really does.
10 or 15
it looks
years
like a
ago.
Hubble telescope. And then we move along to someone I know, Dr. Hayley Gomez from the University of Cardiff. And I like that you're keeping to sort of British sci-fi tradition here, using quarries and things. Hayley seems to be in a quarry as well.
Well, talking about sci-fi, this is taken just north of Cardiff, where they filmed Doctor Who. And so they're used to film crews going up there. So Hayley's surrounded in a big cloud of dust here, and she works with gas and dust in the universe. That's in the interstellar medium. And so her husband's also, Ed Gomez, is a professional astronomer as well. So I've got him with a blower brush, and we've got this big pile of filler dust that's been put down next to her, and he's got this leaf blower kicking up this big cloud of dust. It was a very, very difficult picture to take. My Hasselblad camera was covered in dust. I knew it would be. And we only got a few frames. It was freezing cold in January, but hopefully it works and it's a bit of fun.
Moving along, we come to a solar physicist. This is Dr. Lindsay Fletcher, who I think we've also interviewed on the Jodcast as well. It's quite nice to see Jodcast interviewees being represented here.
That's right. Well, we've got a picture here of Lindsay Fletcher. They're not all interpretive photographs to the science. This is a straight character shot of Lindsay. And Lindsay's a solar physicist who has organised the National Astronomical Meeting this week. And it's next to the final photograph in the series here. It's of Sir Martin Rees, and there's a picture of Isaac Newton behind him. When I walked into his office at the Royal Society in London, he said to me, "Would you like to photograph me beside this portrait of Isaac Newton?" So I said that would be fine. I actually asked if we could draw the curtains over, because I knew the light would flare onto the painting, and he said, "Well, can we wait 20 minutes because it was the state opening of Parliament?" So I said, "Sure." So about 20 minutes later, the Queen was going by in her gold carriage, and he was in another office. So I called out, "Lord Rees, the Queen is going by now." So it was quite a surreal moment.
And I quite like the positioning you have of the picture behind him with Newton, because Newton is famous for the quote of saying his achievements were built on the shoulders of giants, and here he is standing on the shoulders of Lord Rees.
Well, I did mention that to him when I took the photograph, and he smiled when I said it. And I am playing with that idea and that image. I don't want to overstate it, but if people see it, that's great, and that idea will jump out at the viewer. The last tour of Bernard Carr, who's he works as a cosmologist, I guess, at Queen's Mary University in the Mile End in London, and I've got a picture of him reflected about 17 or 18 times in these. It's at Apsley House in London, Duke of Wellington's London residence.
So is this a real room that's full of mirrors?
Yeah, that's right. There's mirrors on both sides of the room, and so Bernard, it's a self-portrait, because otherwise I would have had to have been in the photograph. And it's expressing his work with the multiverse, that there may not just be one universe, there might be multiple numbers of universes. He also talks about the quantum mechanical world of many interpretations. I think that's bound up in his work as well. And we're trying to express those two ideas of the multiverse in this photograph.
Multiple copies of him. And the final photograph in this selection here is of a very young astronomer.
This is Will Parker, William Parker, who's a 9-year-old boy from the south coast, from Gosport. And I bumped into him about 3 or 4 times as I was taking photographs around the UK.
He wasn't following you then, either.
No, but he's a remarkable boy, and he really stood out in my mind. And I thought, well, you know, we've got amateurs in here, and he's an extremely keen amateur. Mm. And I got talking to him and his dad, and he wants to be a professional astronomer. So we used him as the last photograph in the series. And good luck to him. Hope he does it. He's extremely passionate about it. He's next to Stephen Hawking, and at 9 years old, he's reading Hawking's books.
Excellent. And he will hopefully be the future of astronomy. So our listeners can find your images on your website, which is maxalexander.com. And we'll, as I said earlier, we'll put a link to that on our show notes. Are you also having further exhibitions around the country?
Yeah, it's travelling around the country. So after the Royal Albert Hall, it went over to the University of Utrecht in Holland. It's been at the Centre for Life in Newcastle for about 3 months. It's now here at the Glasgow Science Centre. And next will be Belfast, we hope. We're still confirming that. And there are several other locations around the UK as well. Science centres, but we're also trying to reach more public venues as well, like museums and so on.
Well, it's an excellent exhibition of images, and thank you very much for describing them to us on the Jodcast today.